Hello, and welcome to another in a series of award-winning Financially Fit podcasts brought to you by the New Jersey Society of Certified Public Accountants. Today's podcast is on financial planning for a special needs child. With us is Michael Steiner. Mr. Steiner, a CPA and a certified financial planner, is a wealth manager at Regent Atlantic Capital in Morristown. He is also a member of the New Jersey Society of CPAs Personal Financial Planning Interest Group. Michael, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Now, I've read that according to the U.S. Census Bureau, approximately 2.8 million American families, or one out of every 26 families, were raising a child, at least one child, aged 5 to 17 with a disability. Now, tell our listeners how this type of financial planning is different than traditional financial planning.
Well, this type of planning is a lot more in-depth than traditional financial planning because in a situation like this where you have a child that has a disability, and it can be an adult, not necessarily just a child, but when you have an individual with a disability who can't care for him or herself, can't manage his or her financial affairs, the planning goes far beyond traditional planning because you need to set up in place certain trusts, guardians or individuals who are going to provide care, provide oversight for this child as a child becomes an adult and is no longer going to be under the care of the parents.
Okay. Now, are there certain documents that will help protect the child?
Absolutely. A special needs trust, which is sometimes referred to as a supplemental needs trust, is one such document that should be in place for a child with a disability. That the objective of this type of trust, which is irrevocable, is to protect the assets that are or will be the child's, but at the same time also remaining eligible to receive government assistance through programs such as SSI, Supplemental Security Income, and Medicaid. That the ongoing purpose of the trust would be to provide care over and above what the child would otherwise receive or be entitled to from those government programs, but should not be covering basic needs such as food, housing, or clothing.
Okay. Now, who all should be involved in the process here?
Well, this is largely a team effort that should start with the entire families, especially siblings who may very well be responsible for care and oversight of the child at some point in the future, and that's going to depend on the level of disability and whether or not the child will need a guardian as an adult. There should also be coordination with the financial team, which should include the CPA, the attorney, financial advisor, and an insurance agent where appropriate. And I can't stress enough the importance of having a competent professional team that's well-versed in these issues because they're rather specific, and mistakes in this area can be extremely costly.
Okay. Now, tell us about insurance. You know, what types of insurance should be considered for a special needs child?
Well, under normal circumstances, I'd say that insurance can play an extremely important role in providing for any family with children where the income replacement need is great. So in that case, I'm referring to life insurance. And in that case, I really can't stress enough the importance of having adequate life insurance in addition to health and disability insurance, mainly because of the inability of the child to generate income for him or herself. And again, this is also where the team needs to come into a play to ensure not just the appropriate amount of insurance, but as in the case of life insurance, the appropriate titling of the insurance so that you can comply with the specific rules that will pertain to special needs trusts.
Okay. And finally, are there any tax implications that parents need to be aware of?
There really aren't any additional taxes that apply, nor are there any benefits. However, taxability of the income on these types of trusts can differ depending on what type of trust is put in place. So there are basically two types of trusts. There's a third-party settled trust, which is the more common of the two, which is one where someone other than the beneficiary creates and funds the trust. So that would typically be parents. For these types of arrangements, the taxes are paid for by the trust. The second type of trust, which is referred to as a self-settled trust, is one where the disabled child or adult funds the trust. Now, an example here may be receipt of an inheritance that was not specifically identified to go into a special needs trust, or the receipt of proceeds from a lawsuit or claim. So in this case, the taxes would be due on account of the income earned in the trust, paid for by that person, not his or her own cash rates.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for this information, Michael.
My pleasure.
And thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's Financially Fit podcast. To learn more about other financial issues, please visit the NJS CPA's consumer website at www.moneymattersnj.com. That's www.moneymattersnj.com.